ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We have been studying the last chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad called Bhrigavalli, how Bhrigu had transcended every kosha by merging it in its cause and finally found out, realized that Brahman is the cause, the original cause of the entire creation. How to attain like Bhrigu? And we presume by studying this Upanishad, he must have practiced certain disciplines. Not only certain disciplines, but every teacher has his own methodology. So, Bhrigu's teacher had also his own special means of how to attain the knowledge of Brahman. Where from did he get? This is what we call Guru Parampara system. He must have got from his Guru. He might have added also something which he found helpful for himself. So he thought, so I will also pass on this knowledge, the methodology, the way how to progress from the lowest stage to the highest stage. So first he said the more greatest hint he has given, find out the cause of your body, then you will automatically get the cause of the entire universe. Because how do I experience the world? Through my body. How do I understand the world? Through my mind. As I many times mentioned earlier, if a person becomes blind, one-fifth of the world has disappeared. So similarly, the whole body is nothing but consisting of 10 sense organs, and if all of them are merged in their cause, in this case, pranamaya kosha. Then, what does he understand? The annamaya kosha will not get destroyed, but it is looked upon with a new insight, new outlook. This is nothing but prana. Annamaya kosha is looked upon as the manifestation of pranamaya kosha. Similarly, pranamaya kosha is a manifestation of manomaya, which is a manifestation of Vijnana, which is a manifestation of Anandamaya, which is of course a manifestation of Ananda. Ananda is another name for Atma or Brahman. But how can one succeed in making this upasana successful? For that purpose, certain disciplines are indicated. We have seen how the whole universe, how one should look upon it as one's own self. And that is how the upasana has to be done. What is upasana? Thinking that I am not only this individual body, but every body. My eye is a universal eye. My ear is a universal ear. My head is a universal head. Sahasra sirsha purushaha sahasrakshaha sahasrapat sa bhumim vishvato ritva atyatishta dashangulam. We have seen, because other Upanishads also exactly tell the same thing, but slight difference in expression, or the sadhana cannot be different whether you are a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddha, follower of Buddha, Buddha, whatever be. You have to go deeper. That is inevitable. So, it started with certain upasanas have to be done, thinking that they are sacred. And what is it? The body is sacred. The physical universe is sacred. Our mind is sacred. Similarly, the minds of everybody is also sacred. Sacred means none other than Brahman, himself or itself. So, for that purpose, we have studied three types of vratam. A vratam is a vow. It is a promise to God, promise to my own inner self that I will look upon everything as sacred. So, for that, first of all, this body. Body means body-mind complex. Instead of using the word body, this Taittiriya Upanishad chooses to use the word annam. And actually, whether our physical body or our mind, which is called sukshma sharira or karana sharira, are absolutely interrelated. One affects the other. And this whole personality is to be considered as the sacred sanctum, sanctorum, sacred temple. We have seen how in the Chandogya Upanishad, it is called Brahmapuri. And in order to be able to see, simply you cannot sit and say that from this moment onwards, I will be looking upon my body as sacred. Even you have to think deeply further. Even if my body is old, even some limbs are not functioning, still, so long as I am conscious, I have to consider this body as sacred. What happens? The moment I succeed in thinking that my body is sacred, then automatically I look upon every other body, including that of a mosquito, amoeba, as sacred. That sacredness is nothing but divinity. So I am divine, everything is divine, because in divinity there cannot be ups and downs, lower and higher, no differentiations are ever admitted. So for that purpose, start with food. Why our body is nothing but made up, it is born out of food, it is sustained by food, and it merges back in food after the physical body goes away. And the mind is also nothing but food. But only what is the food for the mind? Thoughts, ideas, ideals, aspirations, noble thoughts. That is what Sri Ramakrishna says, cultivate satsanga. So, three, we have already seen how start with the lowest. What does it mean? It means start where you are. Everyone must start where one is standing. And either the teacher tells, you start from here, or if we are perceptive enough, discriminative enough, discerning enough, we can also find it out. So, annamna nindiyat. Food should never be criticized. Look down. Don't use bad words. Nowadays it has become a habit to say, especially in the Western countries, food is called grub. And if you go on using that word, you also become grub and you will be called grubby, because whatever we think, that is what we speak, and whatever we think, that's what we become. So the food for the mind is the thoughts we give and the discrimination we give and the cultivation we develop to think deeply, etc., etc. So, annamna nindyat, first. Second, annamna parichakshita. Never waste any type of food. Because if it is not useful for you, it can be useful for many others. Annam bahu kurvita. And one should multiply, acquire food by whatever means. And the whole world is nothing but manifestation of annam. even taken in the sense of the thoughts, because our food also affects our mind, our thoughts, etc. And the Upanishad so beautifully says that this universe, creation, nothing but manifestation of food, must be looked upon in three relationships. What is that? Anna, anada. Enjoyer, enjoyed. Pratishta, pratishtitam. Supporter, supported. Pramatru, prameya. Knower and the known. So, I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyed. I am the supporter, I am the supported. I am the knower, I am also known. So, what do we learn from this? First, the entire creation called world is the body of Ishvara. Therefore, the entire physical universe is the physical body of Ishvara, God. The entire mental world, causal world, is the subtle and causal body of Ishvara. So, Ishvara is not somewhere else, far away from us, not even 1 billion millimeters away from us. And this Ishvara was unmanifest, and that unmanifest in the form of mind, subtle body, causal body, becomes a manifest. That is why Sri Ramakrishna used to test people and see by finding out the physiognomy, physical traits of the body, he could more or less understand the thoughts, which are nothing but expressions of the character of every person. So, very keenly, very minutely, he used to observe the very bodies of the people, including the eyes, etc. That's why there is a saying, eyes are the mirror of the mind. By looking at somebody's eyes, if they are restless like a monkey's, his mind is a monkey mind. If they are calm, steady, kind, compassionate, do you really see that? Let a baby look at mother. Even when the mother is pretending to be angry with a scowling face, the baby knows, mother is playing with me, I will also play with her. There are people who are intelligent to gauge the inner feelings of a person by looking at the eyes. That's why they are called the mirror of the mind. Second, if everything, this, what happens? Everything in creation depends on one another. We have seen pratishtha, pratishthita, sambandha. If everything is dependent, then nothing is independent. And that which is not independent, that which is dependent, always changes. And that which changes is called by the special term mithya. So, every mithya, every dependent existence must be dependent upon something which is independent. But if one dependent existence depends upon another dependent existence, it cannot last long. The mind is dependent upon prana. Prana is also not independent, and therefore one has to go. That is how Bhrigu found out what is that independent existence which doesn't depend upon anything that we know, but upon which everything depends. That is called Brahman. So mithya must have dependency, and that upon which it depends is called Satyam. Satyam is another name for God, Ishvara, Brahman, etc. So, whatever we are experiencing is nothing but mithya. And this mithya totally depends upon Satyam. Even for 1 billisecond, it cannot exist independently. If there were to be no rope, one cannot become deluded that it is a snake. There must be 100% mithya, which depends upon 100% satyam. So, a mithya must have a true substratum, and that is called Brahman. Thus, Brahma satyam is to be realized by going through these disciplines. And with that, 9th section is over. We also have entered into the 10th section and we have already discussed two important points. Nakanchana vasatau pratyachakshita tat pratham. So, one should never reject anybody who comes hoping that we will give them shelter. Should never be rejected, especially in the olden days, because there were no means of communication to let them know earlier we are coming. So, nobody should be rejected. Why? Because the Upanishad itself tells, if you reject anybody, you will be rejected. That point is going to be discussed very soon. But karma phala, this is where Hinduism's greatest strength is. Karma siddhanta is a marvelous theory. Everything is the result of what we do, what we did, and what we are doing now. Upon that depends the future of our life. And I also, by the way, mentioned, referring to the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in the 6th section of the 1st chapter, the whole universe is nothing but names, forms and karma. So, in that, karma is very important. Everything depends upon our karma. But, what is the problem with karma? Sometimes we don't see what we have done. In fact, most of the time we don't see. By the time we are born, already the karma phala has taken place. Why a person is born in a rich family, healthy family, another is born even as a tiny baby in a most unfortunate circumstances to unfortunate family and has to suffer a lot, no science can explain, excepting that we infer our rishis have said. How do we know it is true? Not by proving. Once we realize God, we understand. So it is said, when a person is about to realize God, the ultimate dispassion is needed. And when it is not coming, then out of his infinite grace, the Divine Mother reveals all the past lives a person had led, and the person was unable to go further because of attachment to something in this particular life. And when he looks, how many times I was born, how many times I was attached to this body and to that which this body belongs to, parents, country, religion, language, community, group, etc. And then with that, why am I specifically holding on to this? With that, the ultimate dispassion will come and he will be freed and he will become a knower of Brahman, identifying with everything, if he survives. That state is called Jivan Mukti. So, let us not refuse anybody to give shelter. That means what? Shelter doesn't mean only housing. Shelter means help. Whatever help we can do, we should never try to withhold. Why? Not because the other person deserves or doesn't deserve, but because the result will come to us. What I give, that will come back to me. What I don't give will never come back to me. In simple, that is the essence of karma siddhanta. And then for that purpose, as we have seen earlier also, annam bahukurvita. Food should be acquired, cultivated, stored, plenty. Tasmat yaya kaya chavithaya bahuannam prapnuyat. So, in this context, I am remembering two stories actually. If we do not follow these rules, what happens? So, especially a householder. Remember, these are the vratas for householders. Because Hinduism has divided people into four types of ashramas. So, a student, a retired person, retired means vanaprasthi, not simply retiring from job, and a sannyasi, they depend upon the householder. So, Swamiji, in his Karma Yoga, I think in the 3rd chapter, says how it is the bounden duty of a householder to treat the guests. therein a most marvelous story from the Mahabharata, how a king and a sannyasi took shelter under a tree, and there was a family of birds, and it was cold season, so there was a conversation between the birds. So the husband bird said that guests have come, they're shivering in cold. So it went, brought a faggot of burning, with burning fire. And then these people, they gathered a bit of dry wood which was plenty in the forest. And so they were relieved of cold. But then what about food? So there was no food to be brought, especially at night. So one after the other, all the four of them, they jumped into the fire so that they can be cooked and that food can be eaten. Immediately the Mahabharata tells us they all attained to the highest loka that is possible. And also, if you remember, the story of a mongoose whose half body had turned into gold. Marvelous story. We have to remember they are not stories, but they are part of the Karma Yoga. That's why Swamiji had taken it in the Karma Yoga. What we are talking here, all these vratas, they fall under Karma Yoga only. Now comes the most marvelous exposition of Karma Siddhanta. In brief, what is Karma Siddhanta? We get what we deserve to get. This is the simple. We get the results of what we have done. Not we are planning to do, but what we had already done. So, supposing a guest comes, then he should be welcomed. First I will read the shloka, then very briefly we will discuss, but it is a marvelous exposition. Aradhyasma annamitya chakshate etadvai mukato annam radham mukato asma annam radhyate etadvai madhyato annam radham madhyato asma annam radhyate etadvai antato annam radham antata asma annam radhyate ya evam veda. So first I will give you a small gist with English translation, then we will discuss it. Let a householder not deny lodgings to anyone. This is the vow. Therefore, he should procure much food by any means whatsoever. That is the translation to the earlier things which we already had discussed. But when a guest comes, what should be his attitude? So this householder should run joyfully. Aradhyasma annam ityachakshate. The food has already been prepared for you. So, first let me read the plain translation of the shlokas. If this food is given first, food comes to the giver first. If this food is given in the middle, food comes to the giver in the middle. If this food is given best, last, food comes to the giver at last. And he, who knows this? Ya evam veda. Obtains the fruits mentioned above in this very three slokas. So, when a guest comes, what should the person do? He should run forward. I remember Way of a Pilgrim. There was a Christian classic. There was a Christian who was a traveler. Once he entered into a Christian village, there was an ideal Christian family. Parents were highly devoted to Jesus Christ. They trained their two lovely children exactly in the same way. So the children were also born with highest samskaras, though Christians don't say that. I am saying it. So this traveler entered. He was perhaps tired and he is looking, where shall I take shelter? And then he passed in front of the house of this devout Christian. And the children were playing there, small, 3 or 4 years old, but they were highly trained. As soon as they saw this Christian, this wandering Christian, immediately they ran, they caught hold of, each child caught hold of the hand, one hand of the person, said, Christian guest, please come to my house. My mother will be so happy. My father is out. He will come soon. But meanwhile, You can have food, you can have drink, you can have rest. My father will be exceedingly joyous upon seeing you. Such a marvelous description is given. So, when a guest comes, one should not go with a sour face. What should we say? I still remember when I first went to UK, my predecessor, Swami Bhavyanandaji, told me a marvelous incident, and I was shocked after hearing that one. There was a Christian family, perhaps Christian family, I don't know, but they used to frequent the Vedanta Center, and they used to be staying in the guest house. They used to be treated so well, and there was an almost intimate relationship, close relationship developed between the Swami and the devotees. And the Swami was telling, once I had to go to give a talk to some other village, and the place where these intimate devotees were living were on the way. So early morning the Swami started, and he reached this village after 1 or 2 hours of travel. He was a diabetic. Perhaps he wanted to go to toilet and also have a cup of tea or whatever it is. So he went. Of course, the doors were closed. There, every door will be closed, even if it is not bolted from within. He knocked. And this woman devotee, the wife devotee, came out and saw the Swami early in the morning standing. The Swami, of course, never expected this kind of behavior. She simply said, Swami, we are not prepared to receive you. And she banged, closed the doors and went away. The Swami said, this would never have happened in India. But he had accepted, this is their culture, especially the culture of these people, these particular individuals. So he went on. When I heard this, I was shocked. Even ordinary manners, she could have told, Swami, unfortunately, we are preparing. Come and sit in the drawing room and we will soon attend to you, or whatever it, or we cannot receive you. But the manner in which he said, do you think the Swami will ever revisit that house again in his life? I don't think so. Anyway, I remembered in course of my talk, that's why I am telling you. So as soon as guest comes, especially in the olden days, you should say, Aradhyasma annamitya chakshate. The food has, I'm so happy to see you. Joyously go forward, really joyously, and catch hold of him and welcome him like Krishna ran. How this episode in the Bhagavatam to see this, what is called Kuchela, his boyhood friend, and then he saw him from a distance from the gate. Krishna was playing with Rukmini and others on a swing. He saw from a distance, old man and very weak body, probably was walking from early morning. Immediately he ran, fell at his feet and made pranams, because Krishna was Kshatriya and this person was a Brahmana. Immediately, he caught hold of my friend. It took you so many years. You have never come to visit me. I am so happy. And embracing him, he almost carried him, made him sit on that swing and washed his feet. And then he must have done something. Bhagavatam doesn't tell us about these things in details. He must have offered something. That is a custom. And this is what we call welcoming a guest in puja. So we have to give first water, cold water, or cool drink, or tea, or coffee. Nowadays, welcome, welcome. So that is how first we have to welcome the people. Krishna did all that. And never once asked, why did you come? Just to remind how marvelous this story was. So the sadhaka, we are talking about sadhakas, but apart from sadhakas, even people who are decent householders, they should do the same thing. So he should run and say that, why he should run and say, food has already been prepared plenty for you. because the guest may be thinking, am I going to be a troublesome person for these people? Are they going to be put to hardship because of my arrival? He may be thinking, he may be worried. No, remove that worry at first itself. Food has been already prepared, even if it is not prepared, because by the time he is welcomed, argya is given. Argya means you wash your hands and feet, and afterwards, if necessary, take bath. But first, you remove your tiredness by offering him at least a glass of water. That is why Sri Ramakrishna, when he used to visit some of the Brahmo devotees' homes, and some of them were not trained in this ancient Hindu methodology, so they never used to offer. Sri Ramakrishna, out of infinite grace, used to say, will you give me a glass of water? Not that he needed water, because if a guest departs from that house without giving anything, without receiving anything, that will reflect upon the host. Then some problems will come. This is Karma Siddhanta. So already food is cooked. You don't worry. And usually people do that. Even if the food is not ready, by the time he sits and by the time the wife already is trained, and the women folk, they go inside and then cook something. But usually something extra is prepared already. They may have to reheat. That's all they have to do. So the food is given first. Food comes to the giver first. That's what we are going to discuss. But this is how the guest has to be welcomed. And don't think it is going to be any trouble because it is already prepared. Only you have to come. You have to wash your hands and feet. If necessary, take a bath and then sit. By the time you do that, and your food will be prepared. And also something, perhaps you know, if you take bath, you will feel more hungry also. So, this is how adhyasma annamiti achakshate. The host should welcome joyously, etc. Now, this attitude, food is ready for you. As soon as the guest comes, welcome, food is ready for you. Please do not worry thinking whether we have finished eating and there is no more food. No, food is cooked and plenty and you are most welcome. So as I said, Yayevam Veda, he who knows this and observes this, follows it, then he obtains the fruit. And this attitude, first it starts with the mind, attitude for giving this dhanam, especially annadhanam. So one must have be earning these samskaras from the many, many past lives, from family tradition, from the teachings of the Guru, etc. There is a beautiful saying, and these beautiful sayings in Sanskrit, they are called Subhashitas. Bhashita means that which has been spoken. So means extraordinarily meaningful sayings. And there are thousands and thousands online you can get if you just search, especially in the archive.org. You will get so many of the Subhashitas, thousands and thousands of that, but even some selected ones, very good to read once in a while. Sateshu jayate shuraha, sahasreshu cha panditaha, vakta shata sahasreshu, data bhavati va nava. So this is a saying. Shuraha sateshu jayate. Among thousands of people, there may be one great fearless hero. Maybe among thousands and thousands, one may become a real scholar, panditaha. Vakta shata sahasreshu. There may be thousands of good scholars. But the person who could explain it so well, beautifully, crystal clearly, so that the listeners can understand without the least bit of doubt, at least they can understand intellectually, if not true meaning, that kind of speaker. Only hundreds of thousands of people, maybe one is born. And then the Subhashita goes to say, Tata Bhavati Va Nava. Maybe a person who has that mentality of sharing what a person has got, giving away, maybe there may be one, there may not be one. Bhavati va nava. See, even to give, that attitude many people can give, but they don't give. Just to remind, Swami Vivekananda understood how poor our Indians were in giving. That's why he said, any Indian who has been educated at the cost of India and then doesn't lift a little finger for helping other people, he is a traitor to the country, Deshadrohi. And there are millions of Deshadrohis earning lot of money and staying in Western countries. It doesn't exclude India also, and so selfish. And I am not talking about other people. I am talking about so-called devotees. How many Swamis are spending their lives trying to preach these things, trying to live this kind of life. And then the institutions have to be run. So many works are going on. At least if one decides to give 1/25th of whatever one has, and it is not giving away, it is only collecting for their future, how much of good, how much of support can be given? And do you think if one doesn't do it, these people, they are not even Hindus? Because Hinduism tells clearly, this Upanishad is telling, what you give to the world, you will get back as the result of karma phala. So, now the Upanishad is talking about dhanam. Dhanam means charity, especially food in those days. So, the Upanishad divides this charity into three classes. First class, second class, and third class. So, just before going, I am reminded of a story from Buddha. Once two people came to Buddha. Both were emaciated. And then Buddha knew the past lives of everybody that approached him. Sri Ramakrishna also knew about it. He told about the lavatory cleaner, Rashik. He was a devata in his previous birth. Like that, he told about other people, why they were born in this way. So the disciples saw these two people approaching Buddha and they asked. So they are looking like this. Can you tell us what made them be like this? And Buddha looked at one man and said, this man was a rich man and he never gave. Therefore, in this life he is born as a poor man and he has appetite, but he doesn't have that punyam, that merit to get, because he has not given, he is not receiving. So that is why he has become so fragile, so weak. What about the other man? Said this man, he was not a rich man, but neither he was a poor man. And he had some samskara to give to people, but he used to give with what is called, with a curse on his lips. These parasites, always they come and they want to drink the blood of people like us, hard-working people. He used to give, but with harsh words on his lips. The people, they are helpless. They were helpless. They have to receive. But at the same time, nobody was happy to take whatever has been given with this kind of harsh, angry, insulting words. So they used to feel pained, even though they had to receive, they received. As a result, this person has become rich man. As a result of giving, he became rich. Because he used to curse people, and his stomach has gone so bad, he can't even digest, as we call, boiled water. So both of them were suffering because of the result of their past karma phala. This is what happens. We have to be extremely careful. So, to give briefly, etadvai mukhato annam radham, mukhato asma annam radhyate. If anybody treats a guest, joyously welcomes, joyously feeds them as much as they want, prepares food tastefully, and throughout this day, the guest is filled with happiness. How much respect, how much of reverence. Atithi devo bhava. So this is how this person had given the food. Then what happens? Mukhata means in the best way possible. Then what happens? As a result of this giving away, when he requires food, it will come joyfully with the highest respect and very tasty food, plenty of food throughout his life. Because as one gives, one receives. This is also true. As much as you empty your room, so much you can receive and keep in your room. This is the simple truth. So, this is the main meaning of this particular statement of this Upanishad. So, the feeling with which a person welcomes, the joy and respect with which this person welcomes, makes him sit, makes him feel you are most important in our lives, and as if Atithi Devo Bhava, God himself has come to eat. What is the result? In this birth, in the next birth, or many births, whatever time, whenever, wherever, food will, he will never lack food. It will come with the highest respect, tasty food, with the tenderest, loveliest feeling, joyfully he is offered, joyfully he receives, and his devotion to God will increase. The giver's devotion also will increase. About such persons, Bhagavad Gita says, Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Bhrashto Avijayate. Such persons, if they do not attain God realization, because this is part of the spiritual endeavor, then he will be born in a family where all his desires, they are not only talking about food, clothing, other instruments of enjoyment, everything, all his unfulfilled desires will be naturally fulfilled, so that he will feel enough is enough, now I want nothing else excepting God. Same thing we apply for the middle type of dana or charity. Etadvai madhyato annam radham, madhyato asma annam radhyate. Same idea, if somebody's feelings are neither worshipful nor hateful, okay, you have come, all right, we have got food, so plenty he will give. Mechanically, preparation is also normal preparation, and he doesn't show much respect, but he doesn't insult also. Please sit down, please have your food. So, the attitude, that is a very important part of the result we are going to get, whatever we do. And what is the result of this kind of welcoming guests and sharing food with him? So, remember, sharing means not only food, any type of help, clothing, or money, or other materials, etc. In the olden days, they used to give danam of cows, etc. So when this such a giver, when he does it, this kind of offering, then when he requires food, same way food will come, not given with tremendous love and respect, or it is not given with so much of joy, and it is sustaining the body, but not prepared very well, etc. Not only in this next birth, but so long as his karma phala lasts, he will get the same thing. That is what we understand. As the karma, so the karma phala. As the action, so also the result. Same thing we have to apply. There are people, they will not reject, but they come with a grumbling, like the story in that Buddha's story, with a curse, sit down, and then offer with disrespect, and give only probably old one, not well-cooked one, etc. Sustaining, but not so well-cooked, or maybe harsh words also, or even looks also. So there are people with terrible, inimical, disrespectful, hateful feeling. This guest has come. No, this ghost has come. So the guest becomes a ghost. That is why first day guest, maybe afterwards, the house feels the burden, this guest turns into a ghost. And then the preparation is not tasty, not fresh, etc. What is called tamasika bhojana, and with disrespect, etc. So, when he receives this kind of giver, he will also receive because he has given, but exactly the same way, with disrespect, not at all tasty food, may be not sufficient in this or in the next life also. Therefore, we have to be very careful. The Upanishad is telling, even if you don't want spirituality, but you want to be happy in this world, this karma has to be created by you. This is part of the good karma. It's karma yoga comes later on. And he who knows it, he does the best and he gets the best result. These are wonderful instructions given to us. If you want to give with respect. Even if you give a small amount, give with respect. Because, as Swami tells, this world is a mirror. If you smile, then you will see a smile in the reflection. If you frown, then you will get a frown. That is the karma siddhanta. Yatha karma, tatha phalam. Yayevam veda. Means one who is convinced of this truth. One should remember that if I am not getting my food, my enjoyment with respect, and I have to work very hard, it is the result of what I had done in the past. Therefore, our scriptures tell us, so life after life, this world, this srishti, gives us nothing new. That's why often I say that nobody can make us happy, nobody can make us also unhappy. Whatever we deposit in the bank that we call this world in our life, we can only withdraw that both in this life and in future lives also. So, if we can deposit happiness, and how do we deposit happiness? Through these actions. We can withdraw, happiness only will come. And if we deposit pain, pain will come. This inevitability of the result of karma is called karma siddhanta. So, then we have got certain wonderful meditations. How one should look upon this body itself as Brahma Brahma Sharira, a temple of God. For that purpose, six upasanas are given there. And I will just give you the sample. We will talk about them in our next class. So, when we talk, it should be pure talk. All these ideas are so beautifully expounded in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Kshema iti vachi. Speak gently. Speak what is helpful. Speak what brings joy. And where is daridrata in walk? If you have only to speak. So, otherwise pray to God. Holy Mother used to say, that jarache mapo. If you have something to give, then measure out without thinking. Because you are not measuring out to somebody and losing, you are going to get back. But if you don't have, then japo, pray to God. Speak with that person very gently, very positively, with respect, and it will come back to us. This is why our speech towards others, as if God himself is present in front of us. Then prana apana, our breathing, this is called pranayama. And then that will lead to a lot of good, which, as I said, we will discuss in our next class. And God has given us our hands. Just imagine, in an accident or by birth, hands are missing, legs are missing, and limbs are missing. How inconvenient life becomes. So, these are the God's hands. These are God's legs. Sahasrapath. These are God's eyes. Sahasrakshaha. Sahasrasirsha. This is God's head. Everything is included. Karmeti hastayoho. Then, gatiriti padayoho. Respect the feet. How many places it takes us. How much it helps. Just imagine a person without legs. How much inconvenient he has to become. Then two things are given. Our scriptures are marvelous actually. So this what is called throwing out undigested food. This is called imuktariti payo. So if we cannot throw out undigested food either by vomiting or by going to the toilet, then how much we suffer, how much of unhappiness, pain will be there in the whole body. With that kind of body, we can never progress. these five are given now, but the sixth one we have to remember. It is given what is called Daivi Samagna Upasanas regarding the deities, but unfortunately the sixth one is included there by the Upanishad, so we have nothing to do with that. So we will have to bring it here. So I have brought it here. Prajati Ramrutam Ananda Iti Upasthe. Upastha means generative organ, both man's and woman's. And it is said Prajati means it gives three, when a man and woman, in a righteous manner, legally, they join together, then three results will come. Prajati, Amruta, Ananda. First, it leads to joy, Ananda. Second, it leads to progeny. Children will come. And with those children, we become identified. And then we live in those, through those children. That is what we call the, our genes from our Genghis Khan or whatever it is. So, this is called Amruta. Amruta means immortality, relative immortality, because even this physical body falls off, then they live through our bodies. So my body is nothing but my parents. My parents' bodies are nothing but their parents' bodies, etc., etc. Therefore, do not misuse this generative organ. Look upon it as a God-given gift. Look upon our speech, our breathing in and out, our hands, our legs, our action of the ability to have good motion, and of course the greatest joy of every animal, including human being, union of the two sexes, because it gives joy, it leads to progeny, and it also leads to immortality through the progeny. About this, in a little more detail, we will talk in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadmetayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.